Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Abra MacArthur, episode 34 for September 19th, 2006. Callie Lewis and Neil Campbell of GeekBrief.tv. Inside the Net is brought to you by Dell. Check out Leo's picks at twit.tv/Dell. And by Visa. Safer, better money. Life takes Visa. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and welcome to Inside the Net. As I mentioned last week, Abra MacArthur is off as she gets ready for her new television show on City TV in Toronto. But she will be back on the show October 10th, I'm glad to say. Megan Maroney also has this week off. It's just me, all by myself. Well, not exactly. I'll be talking to Luria Petrucci and Neil Campbell today. You may not know those names, but I know you know Callie Lewis. That's Luria's stage name, the name she uses as host of Geek Brief TV, a very, very popular video podcast at geekbrief.tv. She's quite a talent. In fact, the good news is, I'm very glad to say, that she's going to be coming up to a co-host call for help with me. Not forever, but for the next month or so. She's coming up to tape 15 shows with us in October, so you'll see her. Amber MacArthur's last shows, I think, are in the next couple of weeks, and then you'll see Callie on call for help for a few weeks after that as we continue our search for a replacement for Amber MacArthur. I talked with Neil and Callie. They took a little bit of a break from their taping of Geek Brief to talk with me just last week. First thing I asked them is when they got started.
Is it December 23rd was our first episode.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And what, the 2 days before Christmas?
Yeah, because we thought a lot of people would get video iPods and want something to watch.
Oh, so the video iPod was kind of an inspiration for you to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have
Can
a back?
Can you hear that?
Yeah, what is it?
Dimly. Sorry, it's my phone. Hold on.
That's all right. So let me ask you, Neil, did you have a background in this?
No, we, Lurie and I had a web development company before the bubble burst, and I have a master's degree in psychology.
Oh, you're kidding.
And no,
did you want to work as a therapist? What was your plan?
Oh, no, long story. When I was a little kid, Zig Ziglar, the motivational speaker, came to my church. And I decided when I was like 9 that I wanted to be a pop psychologist.
Oh, interesting.
And do public speaking.
Oh, interesting.
And so that motivated me all throughout junior high and high school and college and grad school to do it. But during undergrad, I got on the internet for the first time. It was like 1994. Netscape released their first browser, and I started doing a little bit of development, and not a lot of people were doing that, so it led to little freelance gigs that led to some actual real money. And when Luria and I met, she started helping me, and it became a business, and we did that until the bubble burst, I guess.
Did you meet in school?
No, we met at church.
Oh, that's neat. Luria, were you already a web developer at the time, or did you kind of say, let's do this together? How did that happen?
Well, I started my first website when I was 14.
Oh, my God.
And,
that's great.
So I'd been playing with, learning different languages and stuff. And so, like Neil said, I started helping him with his projects. And
so you were kind of I don't want to say a geek, but you were into technology at a very young age.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was the first time I remember any piece of technology was my mom's word processor.
Right.
She didn't have a computer, but she had a word processor, and I would stand at the door of her bedroom and just watch her type and just be in awe. And I wanted to learn how to type, and I wanted to learn
how
to do everything.
Then?
I don't know, really.
Were you really little?
With ages.
You were like 8 or 9? I mean, pretty little?
I would say probably around 9, wow. maybe. Wow. 9 or 10. And so I wanted to learn how to type, so I started learning how to type, and she would teach me, and I wanted to be as fast as she could was. And then my dad, they were divorced, and so I would spend the summers at my dad's, and I would, he bought Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers, and he had a real computer that had different programs on it that I would spend all day just playing and getting to the highest level I could in Super Mario Brothers and figuring out how to draw on his computer and, you know, do all these different things that I could do. So it was just, those were my first experiences.
In college, did you study technology or?
I didn't go to college, actually.
You just got out of high school and married Neil.
Well,
Was there anything in between?
No. Well, see, I had planned to go to college and everything. I loved school. I love learning, and I absolutely loved school. And I had always planned to go to college. But when it came down to it, I really wanted to be an entrepreneur. I knew that about myself.
Oh, interesting.
And I didn't want to spend the money and the time that it would take to go through college to learn how to work for somebody else.
What was your first business?
Our web development company.
That's neat. And you did that till the bubble burst?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what?
Do we say?
Enough of that web. What did you do? Oh, interesting. Wait a minute now. There's something going on here. So it's about the year 2000.
We had some savings money that we'd made from projects. And then... Then when that ran out, we used credit cards to try to keep it going, and
we spent
$50,000 in debt on credit cards.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so we went to work for...
You needed fast money.
Yeah.
Right.
We needed a safety net.
We needed a safety net, yeah, just a way to make sure that we were okay. And So
we went to work for a company called Extra Space Storage, and it's a storage company, you know, like where people put their stuff. And we thought it was going to be a safety net. You know, we would do it for 6 months, get back on our feet, and then do something else. But this company turned out to treat us so well. We ended up being there for 5 years, and we got really
doing what? Storage?
Yes, yeah, self-storage.
Oh, see, I thought I had some scandalous thing here, and this is nothing.
It's just not glamorous.
Yeah, it's just not glamorous at all.
But they treated us so well, we got creatively lazy for 5 years.
And we learned a lot. I learned a lot about running a business. I mean, because basically you're there to run a business as it's your own, except it's not your money.
Right.
And so that was, it was great.
That was your school. That was your college.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, believe me, it's not unusual to do that kind of thing. But all along, did you kind of think, boy, or did you just lose interest in technology? Were you burnt out?
We were a bit burnt out, and then, you know, because they were treating us so well, we weren't motivated to go look for something else.
Right,
and nothing was happening that was revolutionary.
Just wasn't
I mean, you guys went away, Tech TV went away,
and that broke our hearts.
Aww. Oh, how do you think I felt? So,
yeah, no. Well, I don't know, but I can imagine.
So, interesting. And were you still working there last December?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we were. When we started podcasting, well, they went public and things started to change. And we started to get uncomfortable and unhappy and really... We heard on NPR about podcasting for the first time, heard Adam Curry on it, and that was our first exposure to podcasting. And so we started listening. We listened to Dawn and Drew first, and fell in love with podcasting. Knew we had to do one.
You wanted to be Dawn and Drew originally.
We did.
I don't know why.
Well, you're a husband and wife, and you're funny, and you could do it, sure. And if they could do it from their farmhouse, why not, you know?
Right, but Dawn is...
Magic.
Magic. She's so
very,
much more
very
talented.
Oh, I would disagree with that, but she's talented in a different way.
Right.
And so we at first tried to be them, and we weren't them. And then we had the idea for Geek Brief. We knew
you had to do, you have to do what you do. You can't do what somebody else does. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So did you just say, oh, this would be a fun thing to do? Did you think to make that you wanted to make a business out of it? Was it a hobby?
Yeah. We started podcasting because we wanted to quit our day jobs and do it.
You guys are writers too. I don't know if people know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you writing all along?
Yeah, we were writing a book.
About Callie Lewis.
No, that's a different book. We were writing a book that was set in New Orleans, and when Katrina happened, that was a major motivator for us to actually start a podcast, because we had been listening to shows for 3 months, and we didn't know where to take the book after Katrina, because for all we knew, New Orleans was gone.
And, and the thing about our book was that it involved real people in real places in New Orleans. And that was kind of difficult to not know what was still there. So did we need to change things, or did we need to take out some certain things? So that sort of left us at a loss. And that was a major motivator for starting.
So the next thing you wrote, and now we have to kind of explain something. Your name is Luria Petrucci.
Correct.
But on camera, you play Callie Lewis. Do you think of Callie as a character?
No.
It's you now.
It's totally me. People ask if I'm an actress, and I've never had any desire to be an actress at all. That's not what Callie is. It's not a part. Growing up and reading fantasy books, and it's very easy for me to put myself into Callie and just be Callie. I don't care if people call me Callie or Luria, it doesn't matter, because it's sort of one and the same. The reason we started with Callie Lewis is that, you know, when we first came up with the name for Geek Brief, we didn't have the idea. We knew we wanted to do a podcast about technology, and we didn't really have the idea, because for us, a name really comes before the idea. So it forms around a good name.
Interesting. You start with a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't move beyond the name. Yeah. If I don't have a name, I can't do a project.
So what was the name of the book?
The name of the book was, we're going to have to register the domain name.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tell me then.
You have
some time. This isn't going to come out for a while, so go ahead.
Okay.
It's called Bailey Babbin and...
Oh, it changed a couple times. And...
The
Legend of Marie Laveau. Do you know who Marie Laveau is?
No.
She was the voodoo queen in the 1800s.
So this was a novel, but it was a novel about true people.
Yeah. It was. You know how Midnight in the Garden of Evil
loved that
incorporated real people,
right?
But it took it, you know, to a different level, and so that's sort of what we were
kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've met some people in New Orleans that we just incorporated into the book.
Yeah.
You guys are located in Texas?
Dallas.
So it's easy to get to New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go there. You used to go there a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat.
And we just moved back to Dallas. We had moved away from Dallas to Miami for 2 years, and then up to Chicago, and then we just came back.
As part of the storage experience?
Yes.
We
started opening new locations for the company. And
what did the company say? Okay, so we'll get there. So December last year, you start this podcast. Callie Lewis is a character...
A
fantasy character.
So when we sat down to find the name at GoDaddy.com using promo code.
Always promote the sponsors. I learned that. Yes.
Promo code GB1. No, we didn't have the promo code back then, but we sat it down at GoDaddy and tried to come up with the name. And we were both typing in at different computers, different names, and one of us typed in Geek Brief, and it was available, and it was like magic. just within 2 hours, the whole idea for Geek Brief had formed, and the whole idea for the Geek Intelligence Agency, the storyline behind Geek Brief. It's a goofy little storyline, but fun.
You want to talk about the GIA and...
Sure. The GIA is the Geek Intelligence Agency, and it's a fictional agency made up of real people around the world that love technology and that participate in feeding stories and gathering tips. And
so Callie is the alias of Luria, who is a gadget spy.
Correct. Yes. Like Alias.
Yes.
Like
you're a gadget spy.
Yes.
You spy out new gadgets?
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
And so, you know, it just made sense for Callie Lewis, the international director of the Geek Intelligence Agency, to be my alias on the show. So that's sort of how it started. And plus, you know, we knew at that time we were, because we set out with the idea to build a business on this, and what we were building is a brand. And Luria Petrucci just is a hard freaking name to pronounce.
Oh, I love it. I think it's a great name.
Oh, I love my name.
Of course,
name.
My real name is Leo Laporte, and I don't use that because it's the same kind of thing. It confuses people, so I can understand it. And you're completely upfront about the fact that that's your real name.
Right.
Well, yeah, because the whole premise of the Geek Intelligence Agency is kind of cheesy to begin with.
Right.
And so we didn't want to take it too seriously.
No.
I like it. It's fun. So did you
and
have any...
I'm an agent as of today.
I am. Double XL.
Yes.
Because 007 was taken. December 23rd, you do this thing. Did you have any idea how you were doing it? I mean, how to do it?
No.
I mean, where'd you get the know-how?
Oh, we didn't. We just...
You set up a camera.
Did you have a script?
Yes.
Yeah, we've always written a script for it because I will ramble and say every 2 seconds.
And neither of us are natural talkers. And
because we're writers.
Yeah.
Right. And you use a prompter.
Right. We use a teleprompter we go off it every once in a while, but for the most part, we use that.
When you go back and look at that first episode, or do you go back and look at it?
Mm-hmm. I've looked at it a couple of times.
Do you cringe?
Yes.
I think it's cute.
I'm totally embarrassed.
I'll be honest with you. The seeds of it are of what became Geek Brief are there. I mean, it's there. You look at it immediately, and I know what Neil's I know exactly what Neil's reaction was. There's something here.
Oh yeah, especially the second episode, the iPod special. When I saw that, originally the idea, if you look from the first episode to the first episode is kind of risque a little bit with a couple of the jokes. And then I saw the second episode and I said, hey, girls are going to like this too.
Yeah. You consciously decided not to go risque.
Yeah.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Neil had all of the vision for it.
Although Callie's cute. I mean, you play off Callie's attractiveness too. I mean, you use that. Or no?
Yeah, but I didn't own a camera before I met Luria. And so... She's the whole reason that I ever opened up a lens. And yeah, just because she's magic when she's on camera.
When did you do the modeling thing?
That was after I graduated high school.
Oh, you had already done that. Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No,
you're no stranger to the camera, really.
Not, you know, photography versus video. It's completely different though. I mean, I remember the first several episodes of Geek Brief, I was so nervous.
Really?
because it was a completely different feeling. I mean, you know, you're actually moving with modeling. You move because you have to move a lot, actually. But it's just a really different feel and a different experience in front of the camera. Modeling, you can... Well, you know, you're encouraged to stand in front of the camera, in front of the mirror, and practice positions. But that's different with video. It's very different.
Well, and there's words.
There are words.
I would say that's the biggest difference right away. You got to talk. It's not just moving. So was the response immediately very positive?
Yeah. We released it December 23rd, like we said, and within 3 weeks, we had 3,000 viewers and got shut down from our hosting company for exceeding bandwidth.
Isn't that wonderful when that happens?
Oh, yeah.
Did you scramble at that point and go, what are we going to do?
We did. We actually had a little bit of an advance warning because we understood what we had signed up for, to say that we needed to let them know when we were at about, you know, what
80%.
Was it, 80%
right.
And
they
for
didn't.
The month. And they didn't.
They never do, by the way.
I know.
We've learned this lesson. Yeah. They don't tell you. They want the money.
Right. Well, see, they didn't even want to charge us. They just wanted to shut us down. They wouldn't charge us for extra bandwidth. They would just completely shut us down. And that was the scariest thing. We could have come up with the money. So we had a kind of a freak out late at night when we found this out and started emailing. I emailed Adam Curry and because we'd been paying attention to what Podshow's been doing for the past however long it had been.
Since
we started hearing about podcasting. And we knew that we wanted to be involved with them. And so we emailed Adam Curry. I emailed Drew.
From Don and Drew.
We emailed Ron Bloom. We emailed
Madge Weinstein.
We emailed anybody we could think of that had any kind of connection to Podshow, just to see if we could get on their servers before we got shut down.
So did Podshow ride to the rescue?
They did. They came to our rescue.
That's neat.
We did wind up down for about a week.
Yikes.
But they got us back up. They got us back up, and we've been just keep growing. It's been incredible.
So Podshow has made it possible for you to quit the storage business. How was that when you quit the storage business? Did they freak out?
No, actually, we'd been very open.
They knew it.
They really loved us. We'd been very open about what we were doing, and they sort of saw the progress. And to be honest, they knew that we didn't need to be in storage.
Right.
They thought we should be doing more with our lives.
They wanted to support you in doing this.
They did. They were wonderful about it.
Well, that's neat.
Even
that's
the CEO
neat.
was asking our manager, about what we were doing and how it was coming. So that was really nice.
I'm talking to Neil Campbell and Luria Petrucci, a.k.a. Callie Lewis of GeekBrief.tv. In a second, I'm going to ask about a new production. It's not a product. It's a TV show that Callie's working on. But before we do, I want to mention our sponsor, Visa. Safer, better money. Life takes Visa. Visa reminds you that it's very important to protect your personal information. Keep your financial information secure. Prevent access from family members, friends, and neighbors. Shred it before discarding. Most identity theft, occurs in the real world, not online. And sign your Visa card on the signature panel. Don't write your PIN on the Visa card. Memorize it. These things keep you safe. Visa is working hard with its continuous monitoring and other fraud monitoring tools to protect you and your money. That's why they say, safer, better money. Life takes Visa. This podcast also brought to you by Dell. Don't forget the great Dell deals at twit.tv. It's twit.tv/Dell. In fact, if you want to support Twit, the best way to buy a Dell, go to twit.tv and click the Dell ad in the corner, or just go to twit.tv/Dell. We've got some great picks for you each and every week. Price is so good, I can't say them on the radio. And I've actually heard people say that now I know why. Just check it out. Take a look at the Dell Dimension B110, a great Vista-compatible desktop computer. Perfect for the student or anybody who's budget-minded, but you can add all sorts of great features. That's one of the things I like about Dell. They'll configure it to a T, put exactly what you want in it. If you're looking for a laptop, the Inspiron E1405 dual-core notebook is a great choice. And I'm just kind of telling you got to check out these prices. Twit.tv/Dell. That's where you'll find Leo's picks. And we thank Dell for their support of the Twit.tv network. Okay, back to the story of Neil and Callie, a.k.a. Luria. So that's kind of neat. And you're already one of the top shows on Podshow. I mean, you're very popular on Podshow. Yes?
Yes.
Come on, admit it.
Yes.
There was more coming.
Right.
I'm just, it's an observation. It's not a question. So you're right. You don't have to say anything. I know politically I don't want to get you in a position where I'm asking you about a pod show, so I won't. There certainly in the podcast community, a lot of people have been watching what Adam Curry's been doing and Ron's been doing with Pod Show, right, and are curious about it. Mm-hmm. From the inside, and Dawn and Drew, of course, are Pod Show as well.
Right.
Has it been all positive for you?
Yeah, they're...
Well, all positive. Nothing's ever right, all positive.
But it's been, but it allowed you to do this full time.
Yeah.
Gave you distribution. Gave you publicity.
Absolutely.
And they're incredible to work with, incredible to learn from.
They have so much. I mean, you know, the reason we were interested in them is because we have no experience. They have the media experience. They have the business experience. We don't have that, and
right,
it would take
and
us.
And you don't want to do that,
work,
probably, right?
We don't.
Exactly. We
I
should be concentrating on the creative side of it and really putting out a good product. And so, partnering with somebody like Pacho, because of their massive experience and what they can do, it's really enabled us to just concentrate without having to worry about spending the time and the effort and the energy of learning this whole other side of the business. And we are learning a lot just by doing this, but
and it's a fun network to be a part of.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, Dawn and Drew are going to come to our house and we're going to shoot some stuff with them.
Oh, that's neat.
It's got a really, you know, cool family like feel.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
And you have complete creative freedom to do what you want. And
absolutely.
There's a lot to be gained, I mean, by having a network. It's hard to do it all by yourself and just have the one podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to do more podcasts? Do you want to do new shows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're working
on
that now.
You want to talk about
it? Is there anything to talk about?
Do you have a name yet? if you don't have a name, there's nothing to say.
Well, we started a pilot of one, and we're about to shoot some more this weekend of the Mark and Callie show, which I love the shortened version of that. The Mac show.
Mac is good.
It has nothing to do with technology, but
and Mark Lowry is the other person in the show, and basically it's kind of a Regis and Kelly type of talk show, and neither of them know about pop culture, and so they're talking about stuff they don't know about, and it's funny.
Mark's a comic.
Right, he's a Christian comedian.
Right. So how about Neil? When are you going to get on camera, dude?
I never, if I can help it.
You don't want to do it, huh?
No.
You like being the guy behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Put Callie up front.
Yeah, I don't care about anything other than being creative. I enjoy that. I don't care about getting the attention. I like when she does, but
right.
I just want to be creative.
What are the challenges for you of doing Geek Brief? Is it marketing? Is it monetizing? What do you see as the difficult part?
Those things are handled by Pod Show.
You don't have to worry.
It's easy.
Yeah.
All you do is the creative part.
Yeah. For us, I think the hardest thing is knowing that so many people are watching. We've got a big audience, and
it's
our
a lot of pressure.
Biggest desire is to entertain them, to make them smile or laugh. Mm-hmm. And so that I feel pressure all the time. If we do a show that I don't think is funny or happy, then I just feel bad until I can get a new episode out.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
And you are our inspiration for really just bringing a happiness to tech that isn't out there a lot. I think it is starting to, but you know, technology is a serious subject, but it doesn't have to be taken seriously.
No, not at all. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's our main goal with it. And it's, there are so many people out there watching, just like,
how many people
do
watch?
Good.
Do you know?
Well, in August, we had over 10 million downloads, an
Jeez
average
Louise.
Of 650 downloads per show. And now, I mean, you know as well as I do that that doesn't translate into unique people.
650,000 per show.
Correct.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Then no wonder you're scared.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a serious audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, numbers are funny. I struggle with the numbers all the time because it just doesn't, it's hard to know what they mean. It could be, it could be overstated, but frankly, it could just as easily be understated because of the way these podcast clients work and caching and so forth. We just really, I think we don't, in many ways, we just don't really know.
Yeah. It's,
But you know from, and I think this is always true, you can tell from the response you get that people are watching. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of email, a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she's very grateful to you for talking about, I think it's Text Expander.
Oh, Text Expander is great, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. You've saved my life because
I use it religiously.
Yeah. I make it a point to answer every person that writes me, and
that because now I feel guilty because I don't
know.
You answer every email you get?
Yeah. And I love it because, you know, that's what podcasting is all about to me. It's the interaction. It's because old media is, or antique media is, as we like to call it, is one-sided. It's, here's the information and I don't really want to hear from you. And that's what I love about podcasting is that they can say something and I love getting that feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right to do it. I wish I could do it. I just, I can't.
It's getting harder and harder for me. I spend more and more time doing it, but it's important.
I agree with you. That, I think, probably is one of the most important things about this medium as compared, say, to network television or mainstream media, is it's a conversation more.
Exactly.
With your audience.
And you do it through your chat room on KFI.
Yeah. Kelly was in there for 5 minutes till the onslaught killed her.
No, I was in there. I hung in there longer.
You get a lot more attention being an attractive woman in technology than you do being a guy in technology, I think.
Well, but you know, it's the
and it's kind of not necessarily the right kind of attention either. It's more about who your gender than it is about anything else. Do you feel like sometimes people underestimate your tech knowledge, your tech sense?
Underestimate. I get a lot of questions.
Are you for real?
Kind of skeptical. Are you for real?
Yeah.
And I was watching Jen Cutter. Is she going to be the next?
We don't know yet. She's certainly one of the candidates.
I was watching her, and she said she gets the same questions. I think it's just a matter of fact of being a girl in technology.
Yeah. It's very hard.
People are skeptical of it. But, I'm starting to see that the girls are being more comfortable saying they're geeks. And so hopefully that'll turn around.
And at the same time, a big percentage of the email that she gets is for tech support. You know, my computer won't do this. What can I do?
Right. And those are the ones I don't answer. Because you could spend the rest of your life answering those.
Oh, I know. But you know what? At the same time, I love it. Because, I don't call myself an expert at all. I'm an enthusiast. I don't know half of what I would love to know. But that's, you always say, I don't know when you don't. And the tech support emails that I get are great for me because they're helping me learn. If
they do train you.
Half
that's
of them
true.
I know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I don't know it, then I go do the research and I learn it. And it's, I love that. And like I said, I've always loved school and I've always loved learning. So this is like heaven for me.
Right. Well, that's certainly how I learn is by, when I don't know an answer about something, I try to find out.
Yeah.
But after a while, it could kill you. You could spend all your time doing it.
Yeah, I know.
How much time do you spend creating the show? It's a daily show. Five shows a week?
Four shows a week.
And sometimes we put out more. It's taken about 7 to 12 hours per show.
Wow.
And we just started, blogging is 2 years old, yes. But
more than 2 years.
Well, more than 2 years, yeah. But we just started really realizing what we can do with WordPress software to create a private blog. What we do now, we just started this pretty recently.
Last week.
And it's cut our production time in half.
So it's an internal blog for you.
It's an internal blog for us. We do the individual stories to that.
Isn't that useful?
And then,
it's
useful. And it's incredible. It's just changed our production life.
Yeah.
Because we can just pull off stories. We can write the stories when we see them and then pull these stories off and just add it to the show. And then it's ready to go.
So that cut the time down to now it maybe takes 5 hours to do an episode.
But then, we're...
And that's including research. Research is the biggest amount of time.
You have to come up with new products all the time. That's hard. How do you do that?
And we try it's not just new products. It's products that we're excited about.
Yeah. We don't like to just cover everything that's new because then the enthusiasm doesn't come through. Right. We try to find the stuff that we're really excited about.
Right. So most of that 7 hours is probably spent getting material for the show together.
Yeah.
So you spend...
And there's a lot of production with the graphics. And,
well, that's my next question. So then you shoot it. You've got it. You use a teleprompter.
Correct. We do the research and then we write it and then we edit it and we use Writely for that so that we can both work on it at the same time.
Well, you'd think you weren't in the same house. I mean,
I know.
We use a blog and Writely. It's like you're cross country from each other. Can't you just say, "Hey, Neil, paragraph 2, that sucks." You can't do that, huh?
Well, it's so much.
Do you work in separate rooms? Do you work in separate rooms?
No, we actually work in the same room.
You're sitting right across from each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's impressive that, I mean, here you are. You're a married couple. You've been together a long time. You've been working together for a long time.
We've never worked apart.
That's pretty amazing. And you still get along. And that's really
neat. We've never had an argument.
Wow. Now, whose fault is that?
Both of ours, because we hate conflict.
Ah, so you just go in your separate corners instead of fighting.
No, we don't get mad at each other. If anything, we get sad at each other from time to time. But
wow, that's. I mean, it really is amazing that you can do that. There are a lot of couples that think that much togetherness would actually be the end of the relationship.
And we don't think we could make it if we weren't working together.
Yeah, I can see that. Second Life has been a big part of your lives. Tell me about your relationship with Second Life.
I came into it late because when everybody was so excited about Second Life, we still had the day job and then we were moving and... So we just didn't really.
You didn't
pay
have
much
time
attention.
To do that, and
yeah.
and move and work, yeah.
So I've really come to embrace what it can do, the social interaction that it brings, that people can that I can hang out with friends of the show
and
they
your
can
mom
hang out with us. And my mom loved it.
Isn't that funny?
Which I didn't think she would, actually.
We have a show of that we haven't released
yet.
Of your mom in Second Life?
Yeah.
Your name in Second Life is G.B. Keen. Neil, do you go into Second Life too? Or?
I do. I don't like chatting very much because I get overwhelmed.
Me too.
Just
I
by
can't
the
do
experience.
It. Yeah, I can't do
and
it.
And so I can appreciate Second Life as a way to interact with friends of the show. But I don't feel really comfortable going in too much.
Right. It sounds like Callie's the classic outside man and you're the inside guy. Yeah. She's the face of Geek Brief.
Absolutely.
But you don't consider yourself the Svengali, the secret producer behind the scenes. She's very much a part of it, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. The biggest part or the biggest contribution I make to Geek Brief, I think, is the visual look and feel
of
the show.
That's what you do.
Yeah, I care about that a lot.
Yeah.
And the voice.
Yeah, I art design my life, and so that's what I do with every project that I work on.
Yeah, I don't decorate the house, he does.
Huh. Who cooks?
You know, it's just he has that visual.
Neither of us cook anymore. I used to cook and she used to bake.
It's all takeout now, huh?
Yeah, she
and he does the laundry
because she's Italian. Her grandmother taught her to make pasta from scratch, so that's the big thing that she cooks.
That's great.
Do you know how, Leo?
Oh, sure. You take a pile of a flour and you make a depression in it, and you crack a couple of eggs in there. Am I right so far?
A different method, but yeah, sounds
good. Well, how do you do it?
I mix.
You mix
and then knead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can do it in a Cuisinart. But in the old days, you do that.
She does it by hand.
That would be
you
bad.
Do it by hand with a spoon?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically the same thing. Well, you do it. You have a marble counter, and you put the flour in there. You put a little dip. You put the egg in it, and then you mix from that point on, and it's kneading by hand.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
And then
now, do you have a pasta machine?
Press. I have a press,
Hand crank? Oh, you don't use the crank?
Hand cranked. Oh, of course.
Okay. No, I grew up doing cranking the pasta machine. So I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Yeah, I've got forearms to die for because of that. Those things crank and crank and crank. And then you hang it out to dry. And then you have delicious pasta that night. So you
How do you hang it up? Because
well, I have a rack. Actually, I haven't done this in ages, but I had a rack. Yeah. Why? What do you do?
We cook it.
Cook it fresh.
You don't even wait. Cook it now. That's great. I'm really thrilled for your success. It sounds like you've got another show in the works. How are you going to release that? What's the story on that? Is that going to be pod show and same idea? Daily?
Yeah. No,
this other show is going to be more just for fun. It's not
right. It's just.
I don't see how you could do another show at this point, really.
Right. This show is a show that we'll tape when we can get together.
When we have time and when we can get together, because Mark and I live in different cities.
Oh, okay. And you'd but you want to do something with entertainment. It sounds like.
That just sort of happened. So. I thought it was a lot of fun to shoot, and once we watched it back that it was pretty good. And
that's one of the neat things about this medium is you can just do that.
Yeah, and you can try it, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work.
No loss.
Move on.
Right.
And it's more about just doing other things that we're interested in besides tech, because we're not just tech isn't the only thing we care about. We like movies and
And that's what's really interesting, I think, in the long run about all of this is that it started with tech in many cases, certainly for me, because the early adopters were all techies. But as it moves into the mainstream, entertainment's kind of moving to the fore, and so entertainment's become more and more important. Exactly. How do you like doing the meetups? Is that fun?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You don't get scared?
Scared?
Yeah.
But we've never done a physical meetup.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, you've only done them in Second Life?
Yeah, only Second Life.
Well, you got one coming up in Dallas. Is that
we do have one.
Is that in person?
Yeah, Don and Drew are in town, and it's really their meetup.
They're good at these.
They are.
Dawn is a natural.
She is.
We went to one at the zoo with them.
Yeah.
Dawn just loves her fans.
That was our first time to meet Dawn and Drew when they went to the zoo up in Milwaukee, because we were in Chicago at the time.
Okay, well, we'll see how you feel about in-person meetups after that, after the 20th.
You're scaring me, Leo.
Well, people are going to be very happy to see you. Let's put it that way. I'll never forget the first time we did one with Kate. I still have the marks in my arm from when she grabbed me.
Oh, said,
there are people here. Yes, there are.
Probably going to shoot that as a live Dawn and Drew show.
Cool.
Yeah, we're really excited about that.
That's exciting. That's really neat. All right, guys. Well, I won't keep you any longer because I know you've got to get to work. you got a show to do. But I just congratulate you on the success of Geek Brief. It's obviously an instant hit. 650,000 downloads. 10 million a month. It's kind of mind-blowing. No wonder you ran out of bandwidth.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling it's just the beginning.
I hope so. Thank you,
Luria. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks,
Leo.
That's Luria and Neil. Luria Petrucci, Neil Campbell. And they are the creators of Geek Brief at geekbrief.tv. Of course, Luria is maybe better known as Callie Lewis. A real talent. I think she's going to be great. We're going to have her on Call for Help as a guest co-host for the month of October, which should be a lot of fun. And she mentioned that there will be a live meetup with Dawn and Drew at the Absinthe Lounge. That's tomorrow, September 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. in Dallas. So you're invited to stop by. More information available by going to geekbrief.tv. And we will be back next week with another great episode. Make sure you visit twit.tv. If you like this podcast, there's lots more where that came from, including a brand new podcast launching this Friday with Paul Thurrott of winsupersite.com. It's going to be a podcast all about Vista, the next version of Windows, that launches this Friday on twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next week inside the net.